Once again, we're happy to see all that are here tonight, and if you're here for the first time, it's a joy to have you with us. Just for a few more minutes at the close of this meeting, I'd like to read a verse with you in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4. And I join with my brother expressing our gratitude and thanks to those who labored so hard and diligently throughout this weekend to make things so comfortable and enjoyable for us. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. It reads like this: Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'd like you to notice with me the first four words in this verse. Neither is there salvation. Back in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, Moses, the writer, is describing to us an event that took place in the nation of Israel. They had been enslaved in Egypt for so many years. Now the time has come and they're making their exodus out of Egypt, and they are enjoying their freedom for a short time. They get to a place called the Red Sea. When we get to the Red Sea, they realize it's impossible to cross over. They turn around and they see the dust rising off the hoofs of the army of Pharaoh as it's coming. Those animals are bringing the soldiers down in upon those children of Israel. They're ensnared and entrapped in that space. They cannot go forward. They cannot go backwards. The largest and strongest army in the world at that time was coming to crush them. They did not have any defense whatsoever. And they realized there's no hope for us. And the cry went up from those people, there's no hope, there's no salvation for us. They were terrified. The Bible says they were sore afraid and they cried out. And their language of their hearts was this: Neither is there salvation. Could you think, a friend, tonight? I don't know how often you've heard the gospel. I don't know if you even know what the gospel means. The gospel is good news of God. God explaining to men and women and boys and girls how they can be right with God, and how we've just been hearing how they can be sure of heaven. There's nothing more important in all your life than to be right with God and to be sure of heaven. But here I want you to think of what it would be like if there was no salvation. What would it be for those people that were huddled there in little groups? And I can imagine their children as they looked to their daddies, and the wives as they hugged their husbands, and everybody together, they didn't know what to do. There's a total desperation about what's happening. And they're concerned with their welfare, and they're thinking, there's no hope for us. Can you imagine if God never provided a Savior? Can you imagine what it would have been like when man sinned against God and God would have said, that's it, I will not do anything to help them. I will not provide a way back. I will not provide a Savior. Ah, my friend, the only message we would have if God sent down a Bible and He said, I will not provide a Savior, I will not provide a way back, I will not provide a salvation, His word would be simply four words in one book: Neither is there salvation. But you can see by the size of this book, there's a whole lot more in it than those four words. God has provided a way of salvation. But that salvation must be received. And you won't receive it until you understand your need of it. until you get like these people were. When they saw themselves trapped, when they saw there was no way out, and in a total desperation, they cried out to God. And God provided a means of escape. He opened up a path through the Red Sea, and those people went through onto the other side. You, if they were there, and if you were there, would you have said to God, "Well, listen, I do appreciate that there is a way of salvation. I do appreciate the fact that the sea has been parted and that there is a path for me to follow. And if I go on to the other side, I will be saved. But I don't want to go that way. But I want my own way. My way is just as good as anyone else's way." Would you have stepped out of the ranks of all those people and said, "I'm going to go my way"? Or would you have taken advantage of the fact that there was one way? Would you have taken advantage of the fact that it was the way that God said to go? Would you have taken advantage of the fact it was God's way? That's what happened to these people. They were searching for a way, and God provided a way. And they were saved. You know what our text tells us? There's three words in these four words. I'm going to take three of those words. There is salvation. There is salvation. You know, God has, as we've just been hearing, an explanation of what salvation is. God has provided salvation at infinite cost. That means it had cost him so much. It had to be an infinite God that could pay the price. And he had to be an infinite Savior that could be able to go to the cross and suffer and die for sins. See, God did not compromise when he provided salvation. He did not have to compromise his justice. He did not have to compromise his holiness. I don't know what day it is for you here in Canada, but I'm from the United States. And if this is April 15th, this is the day when the last day of the tax returns that we have to put in our income tax. And people, oftentimes what they do, we call it, they cook the books. They juggle the numbers. They try to arrange it to where it comes out in their favor, so they can pay the minimal amount as possible. They cook the books. God did not have to cook the books to save a sinner like me. God was able to make a full payment for all that my sins deserved. And he made that payment when the Lord Jesus Christ suffered upon the cross. The Lord Jesus took upon himself the full punishment. Everything that sin deserves, he suffered for that. His death was an agonizing death. His death was a cruel death. He was upon a cross. And the Bible says this: "He, the just one, suffered for we, the unjust, that he might bring us to God." Yes, my friend, God made a full payment. All that was required from a holy God was met out, was poured out upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he accepted it, and he paid it in full. There is salvation for the sinner tonight. But since there is salvation for the sinner, the Bible tells us from our verse, neither is there salvation in any other. There is salvation, but that salvation is in one person and one person only. You know, you tell people in the world tonight, "Well, there is salvation, but it's only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ." Immediately, oftentimes, they'll come back at you and they'll say, "Well, you're so narrow-minded to think like that. I mean, that's too reduced. That's tunnel vision. You can't expect that everybody's going to believe that there's only one way of salvation and it's your way. No, friend, we're not talking our way. We are not talking our religion. We don't have a religion. We have a Christ. We have a Savior. We have a Redeemer. We have one who has cleansed us from all our sins. That's what we're talking about. There is salvation, but that salvation is in one person. You know, I would ask that person, if they counter with this, well, you're too narrow-minded. I would say, well, then, what's 2 plus 2? Well, 4. No, I said, it's not 4, it's 5. No, it's 4. No, it's 5. Everybody knows it's 5. I mean, you are so narrow-minded if you think it's only 4. Oh, maybe it's 6. Oh, no. 2 plus 2 has to be 4. Well, you're right. 2 plus 2 has to be 4. It's an absolute. Well, here's another absolute. There is salvation. And there's salvation in one person. The Lord Jesus Christ could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There was a young man who, last night I mentioned about 4 months of meetings, or actually almost 5 months of meetings that our two sons and myself had in this place. And about halfway through those meetings, a young man came in. He had been involved in gang activity, and I could tell just by his demeanor, by his attitude, he was not happy being there. After the meeting was over, I went over and I shook his hand and I said, thanks for coming. I really appreciate you coming. I did something I normally don't do. I put my arms around him and I said, young man, I'm going to tell you something. God loves you. With a big snarl on his face, he says to me, nobody loves me. And he shook himself and walked away. We had dinner. After the dinner, he was going out, and I said to him, remember, God loves you, and I want to see you back here. He turned around to me and said, you'll never see me again. The next night, he was there. And the night after that, he was there. In fact, 2 weeks later, he was still coming there. And one of the boys that was there, he looked at him and he called him by name, by his street name. And he says, you, of all people, coming to a place like this, what are you doing? And I'll never forget what that young man said. We had a chart that we get from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, called a two roads and two destiny chart. It had a road that goes up into heaven and a little door on it. And it showed that that's by those who enter in that door by trusting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are on the road to heaven. And we had another road. It was a wide road. And it shows people going down to the place called hell. And they pass by God's opportunity. They pass by the door. They don't trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And they're going to. And that man, that boy, he walks over there and he says, you see this? Before I came to these meetings, I was never afraid to die. But right now I'm afraid to die because I know I'm on this road going down to a place called hell. I'm afraid to die. The message got through. How about you, my friend? Are you afraid to die? Maybe sitting in a room like this, you might be able to say, no, I'm not afraid to die. But I tell you something, the wages of sin is death. And death is a fearful thing. And those who die and they go out of this world without a Savior. Ah, my friend, there's only one place they can go. And it's that awful place called hell. He said, I'm afraid to die. I am thankful to tell you tonight that that young man's saved. And I'll tell you something, that he got saved the same way I got saved. And the same way everyone else in this room got saved, if you are saved. They had to go, we had to enter into that door. We had to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we had to come down to the same thing you have to come to. There is salvation, but that salvation is found in one person and one person only. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way. And notice what else the verse says. There is salvation. It's in one person. And it's in one name. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That name that God has exalted and made above every other name. That name that speaks to us of the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He was born, they were told, "Thou shalt call His name what? Jesus." Why? "For He shall save His people from their sins." There is salvation. It's in one person. There is salvation. It is in one name. It's in the name of the one who can save you from your sins. What do you think of that name? You know what I hear often about that name? I hear people blaspheme that name. And the Bible tells me that God will not hold them guiltless. In other words, they will be judged. Every time they take that blessed name on their lips and blaspheme, they will be judged. Have you ever heard anybody blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever blasphemed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do they blaspheme His name? I have never heard anybody blaspheme my name. Have you ever heard anybody blaspheme your name? Why His name? I believe the reason is because the devil is doing everything he can to destroy in your mind who the Lord Jesus Christ. He is doing everything he can to bring His person into the dust of the thinking of people. But no matter what the devil does, and no matter what you may call him, God has said He has a name that is above every other name. And the Bible tells me that every knee will bow. And listen, you'll bow and accept Him as your Savior now. Or you'll bow and realize that He could have been your Savior, but He will be your judge in a coming day. There is salvation. There is salvation in a person. There is salvation in one name. And there is salvation, and it's towards mankind. It says that it's for men. It's for boys and girls and men and women. You know, it wasn't for angels. They needed salvation too. But God chose people so undeserving as you and I. He says, "I am offering you salvation." But He says there is salvation. It's under heaven. It's not available after death. There's salvation this side of eternity. There is salvation while you are still alive. There is hope while you are alive. But oh, my friend, if you die without Christ, without this great salvation, there's no salvation on the other side. It's only for those who are alive. There is salvation under heaven. And it's among men. It's for men. It's for people. Because we are the ones who desperately need it. And what does God say about this salvation? He says this: we must be saved. Let me repeat the verse. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm going to close with this. In our work in Los Angeles, I'd go around and I'd pick up people to bring them to meeting. And this one man, his name was Hoppy. Hoppy had been in jail. He got released after he did his time. But while he was in jail, the mafia in jail told him that he had to go out and he had to kill somebody. That was the mission that he gave. I said last night that the streets are being controlled by people in jail. Well, that's what he was told to do. He had to go kill somebody. He told those people, he says, I'm a drug addict, but I'm not a killer. And they said, you kill him, or we kill you. When Hoppy got out of jail, he went and spent 2 years in Texas running away so he could hide from those people because he knew they meant business. After 2 years, he thought everything was all right, and he came back to Los Angeles. I went around, and Hoppy would come to our meetings once in a while. One night I said to Hoppy, Hoppy, come with me tonight. He said, Tom, I'd like to come, but he says, I got business to do tonight. Well, I already knew what that meant. I said, Hoppy, how often do you think about getting saved? You know how to get saved. You heard the gospel. He said, yes, I have. He said to me, I want to be saved. And then I said to him, yeah, but Hoppy, when do you want to be saved? He said, as soon as I can. He said, I know I need to be saved, but not tonight. Went to meeting. As the meeting was coming to close, we were starting to take people home. I heard the sirens. I hear them almost every night going by. Every time I hear the sirens, I say, oh, Lord, please, not one of mine. Got out in the neighborhood, dropping the children off, dropping the people off in their homes. Got to almost to the last house, and this lady came running out of her house, and she says, Tom, they shot Hoppy. They shot Hoppy. I said, come on, let's go find where he is. And so she told me where he was, and there he was. They had cordoned all the alley off, and I parked my truck, and I went over there, and there he was laying on the ground, blood coming out of his head. I said to the policeman, I said, is he alive? He said, yes, he is. I said, can I talk to him? He said, who are you? And I told him. He said, go ahead. I laid down there in that dirt of that alley. I said to Hoppy, Hoppy, I hope you can hear me. But tonight you told me you wanted to be saved. And you told me you need to be saved. But oh, Hoppy, the Bible says you must be saved. You must be saved. And I poured the gospel into Hoppy until the ambulance got there. They took him away. I followed the ambulance to the hospital. When they got him all dressed up in the emergency room, they told me, you can go in. He laid there still as could be on that bed. One reason why I knew he was alive, the little machine going up and down, monitoring his condition. I sat there for 2 hours talking to Hoppy about getting saved. Not a response. Hoppy died. The last words he told me were these. Tom, I want to be saved, and I know I need to be saved, but not tonight. I got business to do. He's in eternity tonight. I cannot tell you where he is in eternity, but I ask you, as we come to the last of this conference, are you saved? There is salvation tonight. Think of what it would be if God only said to you, neither is there salvation, but he says there is. There is salvation in one person. There is salvation in one name. There is salvation under heaven. It's made available to you right now. There is salvation among men. It's available to you. But listen, you must be saved. You must need to trust the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior and find rest and peace and the finished work that He has accomplished at the place called Calvary. Let's pray.